الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم There are many benefits and blessings of reciting Durood-e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I share with you a beautiful hadith mubarakah. The best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Recite Durood-e Paak upon me in abundance. For this recitation of Durood-e Paak is purification for you. Subhanallah. Now the scholars write that this purification doesn't only refer to the physical side. No doubt, recitation of Durood-e Paak purifies your outside. But it refers to the inner side, the heart, the soul, the mind. And so when you're in a disease of depression, anxiety and grief, one of the greatest solutions to this difficulty is recitation of Durood-e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The shaitan will try and stop you from this. But you've got to fight it. So when you're in that mood, that low mood, you don't want to recite. But pick up the tasbih, pick up the beads, pick up the counter, and just start reciting. And keep going until your depression disappears. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this series of talks, we looked at depression from different angles and what it is and how to cure it. Today, I want to tackle the final frontier. What is this all about? You know, we need to understand why this happened. What other powers are involved in this? And how we deal with them? Because let's look at it this way. If you live a fruitful life, if you live an active life, you live a life in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, you live a happy life, you have the strength and the courage and the zeal and the zest to go out and do things. Work in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Earn halal earnings. Bring up your children well. Pray your salam time. Read the glorious Quran every day. Then there's somebody in this world who is extremely upset to the extent that he's screaming and shouting. But you can't hear him. That person is the shaitan, the devil. And he gets upset when you have that beautiful balance. So he works in very clever ways to try and pull you back, to try and mislead you, to try and deceive you, to try and make your mood go down. Because when you're in a bad mood, when you're in a low mood, when you're worried with depression, the first things that start to suffer is your worship, your family life, and your entire existence seems to collapse. And we live in a world where we're interacting with others and we've got to learn to live. And what we do, and often people get into this doldrum of depression and anxiety and grief and stress, because they try to live life according to their own intellect. I think life should be like this. Therefore, I will go about my ways like the way I think it should be. And inevitably, it may work for a short while. But inevitably, they end up getting themselves into difficulties. And then their mind starts to play tricks on them. And they think, why am I in this difficulty? Why has Allah Azza wa Jal put me in this? Why was this decreed for me? How did this happen? Why does, na'uzubillah, the Creator not like me? And there they're gone. Yet, the difficulty is that these situations have come about because we didn't learn what life was. Like you take a machine, you buy a machine, you buy an instrument, and you try to play around with it to make it work and it doesn't work. And after you've tried everything and you've scratched your head and you've electrocuted yourself and you've done all sorts, suddenly you realize that in the box that machine came in, there was a manual. You pick up the manual, you pick up the step-to-step guide, you look through it, and you think, wow, I know exactly how to use this now. So you go back and you use it and you benefit from it. In exactly the same way, life has a manual. In exactly the same way, life has step-by-step instruction guides. The manual of life is the glorious Quran. The step-by-step guide is the beautiful Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what you've done is you've put the manual in a high place in your home, but ignored it. And you've tried to live life like that person trying to make that machine work with your own intellect, and you've got yourself into a mess. And we often get ourselves into a mess and then into the doldrums of depression. Because depression really occurs when things don't happen according to a person's will. He thinks this is how things should happen. It doesn't happen according to him. He gets upset and doesn't believe in the bigger picture, or doesn't realize the bigger picture, or is deceived about the bigger picture, that this was the decree of Allah, doesn't accept his own wrong, that this difficulty has arisen because I missed my salah. This difficulty has arisen because my heart wasn't clean. My heart was full of hatred and enmity and, you know, backbiting and everything else for other people. That is what is causing my depression. If he'd come back to the glorious Quran and the beautiful Hadith of Mubarakah, he would realize where the problem is. But he's got a massive problem, and he thinks the world is against him. And yet that's not the case. The shaitan is working hard. So we help him by not following the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anybody who is fighting depression long term needs to think, how much do I love Allah and his Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the test for this, of your love for Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is your love for the Quran. How much time do you spend reading the Quran? How much time do you spend reading the translation and the commentary? How much time do you spend pondering upon the glorious Quran? You spend hours pondering over your mistakes. You spend days and weeks and months thinking about things that may happen, may not happen. And yet we don't have the time to think about the Book of Allah. No wonder we're in the depths of this dark depression. The shaitan, you've got to recognize your enemy. Because most of the time, your depression is helped by the shaitan. Now the shaitan is our open enemy. The glorious Quran tells us that. But what we do is we tend to think, well, this thought is mine. And we've not even analyzed our thoughts. And everything that comes into our head, we think is our thoughts. And often, they are the whispers of the shaitan. Let me share with you a beautiful story. There was a pious man of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, and it's in Tanbir al-Ghafilin that Sayyidina Wahab bin Munabbi rahmatullah alayhi says, the pious man from Bani Israel, and he was once on a journey, and suddenly, as he's walking along, a rock falls and misses him. He's busy in the zikr of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, and it doesn't disturb him from it. Then, as he carries on, suddenly, he starts to pray salah, and a snake wraps itself around his feet, crawls all over his body, reaches his head. Yet, this pious man of Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to perform his salah. As he's going into prostration, the snake opens its mouth, and yet again, this man of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this steadfast person, this wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla, continues to prostrate, ignoring what was in front of him. When he finished his salah, suddenly the shaitan appeared before him. And he said, it was me who was doing all of this, the rock and the snake and trying to disturb you and trying to put you off the right way. But I find you very steadfast. You're a very courageous person. I'm quite impressed by you. I've decided, therefore, not to incite you, but to be your friend. Now the pious man of Allah recognized that this was another deception of the shaitan, of the devil. So he said, I don't want to befriend you in any way, shape or form. You are my open enemy. You've tried to scare me. Now that you failed in that, you're trying a different tact. He said, okay, why don't you ask me how I deceive people? At this, the man thought, this is interesting. This is important. He said, go on then, tell me, how do you deceive people? So he says, well, I have three traps. One is stinginess. Two is anger. And the third is intoxication. And I use these to try and trap people. How do I use stinginess? Well, I throw the trap of stinginess. He gets entangled in it, in the trap of wealth. Keep reminding him he doesn't have enough money, and therefore he becomes a victim of stinginess. He refrains from spending on what he should. He refrains from spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Money, money, money is all that matters to him. And he drowns himself in sins. And his mind and his intellect and his conscience is constantly absorbed in money matters. And the flow of money into his account and out of his account sets his mood. So if money's coming in, he's happy. If money's not coming in, then he's sad and he's in depression and he's in doldrums. And so the worldly wealth. The second is anger. When a person is angry, me and my fellow shayateen, the devils, we play with him like a child plays with a ball, and we throw him to one another. And we make him do things that he could never imagine he would do because he's angry and upset. And then thirdly, intoxication. When he's intoxicated, he will do anything. Now it's time to think about those three things. Because a lot of the time, our depression is based around those blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, which we may not have. And so we get upset. I don't have a big bank balance. Oh, he's got a better car than mine. Oh, he's got a bigger house. All of these things play on our mind. He's got a better job than me. He's a counselor. He's got a better status. He's got more respect. And that negativity comes back. And rather than thinking that I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for what he's given me, for I didn't deserve any of this, I've been truly blessed. He's been blessed as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal give him more. Rather than being positive, it's the negative which leads to the depression. Then a lot of people live their life in this anger that the shaitan drums up in them. And they're angry at everybody. They're angry at their children. They're angry at their spouses. They're angry at their parents. They're angry at their friends. They're angry at work colleagues. And constantly they live this life of anger. And this comes from the shaitan. And it leads to severe depression. The beautiful character of our Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to smile. Whichever road Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went along, when people saw the beautiful face and the smiling face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would bring a smile to their face. Even if they were crying, they would wipe their tears and just be mesmerized by the beauty and the smiling face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet wherever we go, we cause darkness and misery. And the net effect of this is that not only do we cause other people's lives to be miserable, but we fall into these doldrums of depression. We create problems for ourselves. So it is important that we recognize the attacks of the shaitan. We recognize how the devil plays with us. What are his traps? What are his ways of doing it? And what he thinks is this, because he took an oath to lead us astray. So what he does is he'll come to somebody who's got everything and he'll remind him of the things he hasn't got. He'll remind him of an incident that happened a long time ago and how that person he now hates. He might have met that person 50 times since, they may be best of friends, but he'll come and remind him of that incident that happened 3 years ago, 5 years ago. He'll say, your brother did this, your sister did this, don't forget this, your parents did this. And he'll make you forget all the good things and he'll hold you down in all the bad. You basically paint a picture of the world which is horrific. You're living in a beautiful world with beautiful buildings and the beautiful sky, gardens, roses, orchards and everything else. But the shaitan puts a grey curtain on that. Suddenly, all you see is dilapidated buildings being knocked down. Everybody is negative. You know, in the whole world, you're the only person who is Mr. Nice. Everybody else, he's bad for this reason, she's bad for that reason, he has this bad habit, he has, and suddenly negativity everywhere. We don't even have one good person. And I'll give you an example. When you often talk about, for example, home countries, we say, my country, everybody's bad. They're all as bad as each other. That can't be the case. Not everybody around you is bad. Not everybody in your country is bad. Now, the problem is that the shaitan has deceived you. So he's put a lens in front of your eyes that's grey and dark and dull. So when you look up at the blue sky, instead of seeing the beautiful sky, you see a grey, dark, dull sky. If you look at the green grass, rather than seeing the beautiful blades of grass with all their greenery, you see grey. Wherever you look, the flowers and everything else. Why? And you start to think that the sky is grey and dark and dull, the ground is grey and dark and dull, and all the garden is dark and grey and dull. And yet, at the same time, nothing of that was true. It was just that you had these glasses and you needed to remove them. And yet you allowed that perception to remain inside you. And suddenly, over time, over weeks and days and months, you became negative, negative, and negative. Everything is wrong with everything. Nothing is right with anything. And suddenly, you find yourselves deep in depression. What the shaitan does is he takes a very active and very good person and he thinks, don't worry, this guy's active, but I'll deal with it. And he gradually works on them. He's not rushing things. He thinks, I took my time. I will work on him very gradually. The first thing I'll do is I'll look at the sources of his strength. So if he has a spiritual guide, or if he has good friends, or if he has a good environment, then I've got to break that. Because a good environment gives him strength. A good Piro Murshid, a good guide will look after him. A good surrounding, a good home, a good atmosphere will make him strong. So what I'll do is I'll gradually start to work on his friends, and I'll put negative thoughts into his head. I'll make him move away from the good people. Because so long as he's with good people, she's with good sisters, she's not going to do anything wrong. She's not going to get into depression. She's not going to get into sin. So I've got to move them. So then what the shaitan will do is put thoughts in your head about all the people around you. Even in the Madani environments of beautiful, you know, organizations like Dawat Islami, the shaitan will give you a rosy picture of those out there. Say, this Islamic brother is like this, this person is like this, he did this. And that is a deliberate ploy by the shaitan. We think there are thoughts, and that's where we get mixed up. So the shaitan now wants to get us away. So you might even be criticizing, na'uzubillah, your own parents, your own peer or murshid, your own family members. And all it is the shaitan wants to trap you. And he can't trap you with all these good people around you. So he makes you think bad of them. Yes, they might have faults. You might have friends who might have the odd fault here and there, might have made a mistake. That isn't a reason to move away from them. They are your strength, but the shaitan doesn't want that. Now, he's gradually making you move away. Now, at the same time, what he wants you to do is he doesn't want you to go back to the good, strong days. So if you were praying, for example, Salah in mosque, you were protecting your salah 5 times a day, you were reading the Quran every day, you were doing zikr, you were reading your shajara sharif, you were doing everything else, and gradually you've kind of weaned down. So you don't get to the mosque as much, the amount of Quran you read has gone down. He'll say, well, look, you know, you're never going to get that again. And he gradually weans you down and gets you away from the good. And you've got to refresh yourself. But what he thinks is this: I don't want him to refresh himself, so I'll put him into the doldrums of depression. So it goes downhill. And sometimes we've gone from a position where we're very strong, we're doing a lot of things. And the shaitan said, why do you need to read namaz in mosque? Why can't you read it at home? If you live a long distance away, it's not wajib upon you, it's not obligatory upon you. Pray at home. And these are the subtle whispers of the shaitan. Then, when it comes to sinning, understand this. What he does is if he can make you commit the most gruesome of sins, he will make you do it. But if he can't make you commit those really bad sins, the gunahi kabira, then he'll think, well, let me see what I can make him do. Medium sins, those smaller sins, looking at the wrong thing, flicking through social media, watching wrong things, you know. I can make him do that in the privacy of his bedroom. Let's make him do that. Whatever I can make him do, if it's big sins, I'll make him do big sins. If it's medium size, I'll make him do that. Even if it's small stuff, I'll make him do that. And no sin is small. There's a hadith in Mubarakah in relation to that, because you don't know what you're going to be held accountable for. But in this context, I'm saying this is satanic thinking. Even if it's small things, I'll make him do that. If he can't make you do that, then his favorite one is I'll make him sit on the fence. So you see so many people who say, well, I don't pray namaz, I don't do this, but I'm not a bad person. I don't do all these sins, I don't go out, I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't do this. That's his favorite one. Because he's thinking, I've got him where he wants. He thinks he's comfortable, yet he's lost the purpose of his life. Then the scale carries on. And this is where it gets interesting. What he does next is says, well, if this person is capable of doing good, he's in a madani environment, of Dawat Islami, for example, and he's doing madani work, he's going out, there's dars, bihan, madani kaflas, and all this that he can do. What I'll do is I'll let him, I can't stop him from going in this way. He's too strong for me to take him to the sin side of things, but I'll make sure he only does the small stuff. So he'll do a little bit of work here and there, but he wants to keep his independence, his lifestyle. And the shaitan will say, don't know, you don't want to get too involved. You know, you want to just keep your distance and everything else. So make him do that. Then he knows this person's too strong. He's doing madani work. He says, well, don't go too far. Just do a little bit. Then there are those brothers who day and night run around to do the work of deen. Then there are those brothers who day and night call towards good. They forbid evil. Those are the ones that he really goes for. Why? Because there was a famous saying of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that Allah Azza wa Jal will write the reward of 1 year's worship for each word of his, i.e. the person who goes out to invite towards goodness. And Allah says, I have hiya, shyness, in giving him the torment of hell. So these people who are doing the work of deen are the best in society. This is what differentiates this beautiful ummah of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the old ummahs. These are the cream. So what the shaitan thinks is, I'm here trying to deceive people, and then these people are going away. They're taking the battlegrounds that I've conquered. So what he does is he works on them. And we get brothers who are doing well, we're doing mosque work, doing other things, and he tries to deceive them and get them off this path. And so often you come across brothers who you know can achieve a lot, sisters who can do a lot, but yet depression is causing them to sit at home. I've seen many, many brothers who were amazing. You know, they were working, and for the first few years, mashallah, they were, you know, doing dars, bayans, madani kaflas, going around neki gidawat, ringing their friends, inviting them towards good, picking up people, bringing them to the masjid, fajr, madani halkas, everything. Very active, going around collecting donations, helping in different things, helping at the local masajid. Wow. And they had a full-time job as well. They spent time with family as well. And they're very balanced. You've got to balance it with family life and with work and everything else. And beautiful balance. And then suddenly the shaitan thinks, well, I've got to do something about this guy because he's going to help too many people. And then depression kicks in. And he has different tools for this. So it may be that, you know, there's been an argument between two brothers, a disagreement. And suddenly now there's groups and you're talking to other people, you're backbiting, other people are backbiting. And suddenly he's created that toxic atmosphere. And you think, right, and then he comes and whispers as well, creates the toxic atmosphere, comes and tells you he's really bad, goes and tells him he's really bad, and then comes to you and says, you've got to walk away from this environment. And the whole point of his is that he wants to, it's like the sheep in the group, and you've got the shepherd, and you can't, the wolf can't take a sheep from there, while the shepherd stood there, and there's all these hundreds of sheep there. So what the wolf wants to do is isolate a sheep. So he takes you out from outside the madani environment of Dawat Islami. And once you're out there, you think you're separated, then he'll pounce. And then he'll make you commit sins. And then you end up in the doldrums of depression. This is how the shaitan deceives. And it's very important that we learn this. That the shaitan doesn't want you to do madani work. It's very, very important that we understand how the shaitan works. Then there's another one. There are people who are outside the Madani environment and in the world where they become lost because they walked away from the light of Allah Azza wa Jal into darkness. And when they got completely dark, they don't know who they are, where they are, and they became completely depressed. But then Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them. So many brothers came into the Madani environment of Dawat Islami suffering from severe long-time depression and stress and anxiety and grief. And alhamdulillah, because of the beautiful Madani environment and the beautiful nur and the light and the enlightenment, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, they managed to gain that beauty, that inner beauty that made them alive and put them on the path of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we have to do. We have to recognize who we are and where we're going. We can't let depression take over our lives. We have to fight it. You have to fight it. But the greatest weapon that you can use is the love of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is to stick to the Madani environment of Dawat Islami. And then throw yourself into the deen of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Protect your salah. Read the Quran every day. Read the translation. Read the commentary. Read Islamic books. Do Islamic courses. There are so many sisters out there who are alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. They learn Madrasatul Madina Balighan and they learn the Quran, they teach it to others, they attend the sisters' ijtimaas, they're doing online courses and mashallah, they're reading books and everything else. They don't get into this depression. Everybody goes through highs and lows, but they don't get into this deep depression. There are brothers out there who are attending the monthly Madani kaflas. They're looking forward to it because it's a good break from the worldly things. They attend the Thursday ijtimaas. They do their nek amal card, what used to be called the Madani namad card now, the kind of invitation towards righteousness. They attend the local area. They invite their brothers. They go to the masjid regularly. They live an active, fruitful life. And in that sort of life, you'll have highs and lows. That's not what we're talking about here. You know, you can't always be at level 10. You've got to understand that. You'll have days where you're at level 5. Physically, you may not be feeling as well. Emotionally, you may not be feeling as well. But if you are steadfast and you stick to your Madani environment, you're the brothers and sisters who help you, and you're nice to everybody, you'll have good days and bad days. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the shaitan taking over your life, making you miserable, and making you think this life isn't worth living, and making you think that you don't have anything, and making you ungrateful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, to the extent that you can't be bothered getting up and praying salah, to the extent that you can't be bothered reading the glorious Quran, to the extent that you can't attend the ijtimaas, you can't do anything good, and your life is suddenly on a downward spiral. This is what the shaitan does, and this is why we have got to fight it. The greatest advice that I can give you in relation to depression and in relation to difficulties is this. If you're in the Madani environment, whether it's an Islamic brother or an Islamic sister, and you're doing the work with Dawat Islami, you are truly blessed. Don't let the shaitan take it away from you. Don't let him give you excuses. This person did this, that happened, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. No, none of that. There are so many good people who had a very active life. And they, because of the environment that they found themselves in, because of some little problem, they left the Madani environment and their life just went downhill. Don't do that. Accept that other people will make mistakes. Accept that you've got to agree to disagree sometime. But the reason you're doing all of this is for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And once you keep that in mind and make it a doctrine of your life, that whatever I'm doing is for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, what others do doesn't matter. You will carry on attending your Madani kaflas, inviting towards good, going to the masajid, cleaning them, helping out, helping at the Fazani Madinas, helping in the Jamias, helping doing online courses and everything else. And that will keep your life beautiful. If you're in depression, my advice to you is come closer to the Madani environment of Dawat Islami. The closer you are, the more active you are, the more engaged you are, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, this beautiful Madani environment will put you closer to Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will put you on a journey to Medina Munawwara. It will put you on a journey to see the beautiful Kaaba. Why? Because during the day, you're running about doing Madani work. You're watching Madani channel. You're watching the Madani Muzakaras of Amir al-Sunnah, all constantly talking about Makkah and Medina and the environment, and you'll see pictures and you'll see the Quran. And then when you go to sleep, you won't have scary nightmares. You won't have bad feelings, bad thoughts. You'll have positive thoughts and great dreams. And in your dreams, you will have amazing visions. You will see the Kaaba, you will see Madinatul Munawwara. And if you're lucky and you clean your mind and you spend your time reciting Durood-e Paak of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, then you will have the amazing vision of the most beautiful and beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all from these doldrums of depression and give us a very active, fruitful and beautiful life serving Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.